Hi, everyone. This is Amanda Borchel-Dunn.
And I'm Jessica Steinberg,
your host for Times Will Tell,
a weekly podcast from the Times of Israel. Hi, it's Jessica Steinberg. Welcome to this week's Times Will Tell. We're going to take a deep dive today into Israel's kosher certification system as the government undertakes a first step in overhauling the industry. The current system is a monopoly of local rabbinates in each city and town under the authority of the chief rabbinate. The new plan, unveiled in July by Religious Affairs Minister Matan Kahana, would presumably end the monopoly of the local rabbinates as the only bodies that can issue kosher certificates. The monopoly costs businesses some $2 million a year. The reform would allow for other private kosher certification agencies and, according to the finance ministry, could lead to savings of more than $100 million a year for food establishments and consumers. This is the long-awaited privatization of the kosher certification industry, a path paved by the religious Zionist Sohar organization, which launched its own kosher certification agency back in 2018. I spoke with several people involved in the industry, including Rabbi David Stav, chairman of Tzohar, and I also visited several iconic Jerusalem eateries. I spoke with Zvi Maller, the American-born owner of Crave, a restaurant in Machane Yehuda, Itzik Kadosh, the pastry chef and owner of the beloved Jerusalem Cafe Kadosh, opened by his father in the 1960s, Yitti Lawson, who runs Taco Luis, a Mexican restaurant, Don Malay, who runs Angelica, the fine chef restaurant also in Jerusalem, and finally with Leon Avigad, who owns and runs the Brown Hotel chain in Israel, Greece, and Europe. Enjoy the show. I'm in Machane Yehuda today on Hashikma Street at Crave, a very popular Jerusalem restaurant, and I'm here with Zvi Maller, who is one of the owners of Crave and a serial restaurateur who has owned kosher restaurants in the States and now here in Israel. Zvi, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. So we're here to talk about the fact that Crave is a restaurant that has the kosher certification of the Jerusalem Rabbinate, which it has since the beginning, since you opened 4 or 5 years ago. To talk a little bit about what that process has been like, since you know what it is to have kosher certification for a restaurant here in Israel and in the States. So tell us a little bit what it has been like to work with kosher certification through the Jerusalem Rabbinate at Crave.
Okay, so it was interesting. When I first came on board here, when we first opened up, they were very adamant about certain things we were allowed to use, and it came up right from the beginning about using certain OU products. And I was like, what? What do you mean you don't hold by the OU? It's a very respected organization from where I come from in the States.
I'm just going to say that OU stands for Orthodox Union.
And they were questioning certain products that we were using. For example, Hellman's mayonnaise or Kikkoman soy sauce and Heinz ketchup.
Right.
And they kind of were like, no, you can't use those products. I was like, we're going to switch hashkakas. I'm not going to compromise on product to just so somebody can make an extra buck somewhere. Because usually these organizations obviously want to sell their own products that they give hashkakas to. And as I kind of put my foot down, they seemed to pull back and allow. They said, fine, you can't use any OUD products.
Which stands for?
For dairy products. I was like, I have no intention of using any dairy products in my meat restaurant. And they backed off on that, and they allowed us to use the OU products that I was, you know,
used to
using from my previous my restaurants in the States, obviously. And they were just better products than... Sorry, Osam.
Now, Zvi, I know that about 6-8 months ago, you had a little bit of a kosher bacon incident.
This is an interesting story. So we were operating for years, probably four and a half years at that point. And all of a sudden, we got a phone call from the rabbinate that they were not happy with our lamb bacon on the menu. We were a little bit like, what do you mean we're operating with lamb bacon on the menu since the beginning? And as the story developed, it turned out, I have a feeling someone probably called them up and said, they have bacon on the menu. They lost their, I guess the rabbis are old Sephardi guys. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're not up to date. Yeah, not familiar with what's going on. And we actually had a very long, probably went on for about a month trying to have a conversation with them about it and debating them. And they were just it fell on deaf ears. There was no interest in hearing anything we had to say. We brought, we brought in these papers like that bacon is just a process. They were like, no word bacon on the menu. Now we call it lamb facon, which was really, I was really upset about it. I almost wanted to stick my feet in the ground at this point. But I put my big boy pants on and swallowed it and said, and obviously anybody who does come in, I verbalize it as bacon, not as bacon. Right now I have a lot of clientele that, you know, rely on this hashkaka. They hold by it. That's what they hold by. That's what it is. That's what their rabbis told them.
We're here with Rav David Stav. He is the chief rabbi of the city of Shoham in central Israel and chairman of Tzohar. What is Tzohar? Tzohar is an organization that aims to foster Jewish identity to guarantee the Jewish future of Israel, providing different kinds of lifestyle programs and services for hundreds of thousands of Israelis. Tzohar joined the efforts to create a reliable, professional, national kosher certification system several years ago, one that is not reliant on the Israeli rabbinate, and it is called Tzohar Kosher Supervision. Hello, Rav Stav, how are you?
Shalom. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Rav Stav, why did Tzohar enter the area of kosher supervision?
Unfortunately, almost half of the restaurants in Israel are not kosher. And when we started to check why is that, we realized that there is a lot of criticism and a lot of hatred among many secular Israelis that despite the fact that they want to be kosher, but they don't want to receive kashrut supervision from the rabbi. So that was the red light that hinted to us that something is wrong here. The main issue here is the monopoly. We need to shake this boat. We need to create competition. And we started so far, we have already more than 300 restaurants. And we believe that this process will continue to grow. The main challenge today is who is entitled to carry the name kosher. So far, the word kosher belonged to the chief rabbinate. If a company used the word kosher without being under the supervision of the chief rabbinate, they could be sued to court, to be indicted to court. So therefore, until today, when we are speaking, Tzohar is not using the word kosher. We use the word announcement, halachic, but it's not the word, the holy word kosher does not belong to us. Now, for many Israelis, if you don't say the word kosher, it means it's not kosher. So this is not changed today. This will be changed in a year from now. What is changed today in this stage of the reform is only one thing, that rabbi of Shoham could give kashrut in Tel Aviv and vice versa, which is usually not a big change because most of the local rabbis, including myself, have no interest and have no power, manpower, to provide kashrut to Elat or to Tel Aviv or to Haifa. But what it does help is that, for instance, if I have a town next to me and the rabbi is doing problems with no reason, so then the restaurant will have a tool against the rabbi. You cannot torture me. You cannot just alienate me. If you raise too many obstacles, I will go to a different rabbi. So that's actually what's changed now.
How hard is it to get restaurants to leave the rabbinate supervision and join Tzohar? Are they scared of losing customers? Now that you've got this nice long list of 300 restaurants and counting, I imagine, are you finding that it is still very difficult to get people to take that step?
It's very scary to leave the rabbinate. A, because of shaming. All of our businesses report that since they started with us, the number of customers has been increasing, sometimes in tens of percents. Customers have a lot of trust in Tzohar, but the businessmen have a kind of fear, and sometimes they are terrified because they are afraid that the rabbinate might put obstacles in other places where they still under the rabbinate. People might lose their jobs. For instance, one of the supervisors that started to work with us last week was told that he has to leave the rabbinate because he works with us. It's quite scary, and they are using sometimes tactics of mafia.
Hey, it's Jessica Steinberg. If you have an important message you'd like to share with people who care deeply about Israel and the Jewish world, there's really no better way to do that than by advertising in our podcasts. Reach the Times of Israel's unique community with an audio ad. For more information, email ads@timesofisrael.com. That's ads@timesofisrael.com. We're back.
You're listening to this podcast. So I know you care about the war in Israel right now. And you've been reading the headlines. Massacre in Gaza. Genocide perpetrated by Hamas. No, by Israel. But if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know one thing. This stuff seems complicated. And honestly, no one can really just pick a side or decide an opinion without really learning, without really knowing what you're talking about. And that's where this podcast comes in. Check out Unpacking Israeli History, now in its sixth season. They have episodes with topics ranging from what is Hamas anyway, to whether Israel should ransom captured soldiers, and the history of Israel and its disengagement from Gaza in 2005. Unpacking Israeli History cuts through the noise and helps you understand Israel's present through understanding Israel's history. So, educate yourself. Learn the history behind the headlines. Find Unpacking Israeli History wherever you listen to your podcasts.
With this week's Times Will Tell about the kosher supervision reforms being unrolled in Israel right now. We're speaking next with Itzik Kadosh, the second-generation pastry chef and owner of the iconic Kadosh Cafe in Jerusalem, followed by his neighbor, Yitti Lawson of Taco Luis, a Mexican restaurant she co-owns with her sister and Mexican brother-in-law, and then with Dan Malay, who runs Chef Restaurant Angelica, also in Jerusalem. Next up, Itzik Kadosh. Itzik, could you tell us a little bit about why you decided to go to Tzohar?
Yes, first of all, the Rabbanut never come and check us. More than 7 years we have a Mashgiach. He come here like 20% from his time to check exactly and to do his job. Usually he take a vacation without telling us. He come as he wish. He want to be here. He will be here. He doesn't want to come. He don't come. When he come here, he doesn't do nothing. He drink coffee and he goes. He speak with other employees and customers. And in the Corona, I saw that it's burdened me more, because we didn't have a lot of work. Everything was closed. And he was coming only to ask about his salary. And I said, listen, we were closed for 3 months. We open again, and I never saw you. After 2 months, you came here and you ask, where is my salary? Why didn't you come to work? The head of the Mashgichim came here and he told me, listen, now everything is going to be different. All the croissants that you're going to do are going to be triangle. And I said, I never heard about croissant. The croissant is half a luna. It's half
a, half know, a moon.
Half a moon. It's, this is the, all over the places they do like. They said, no, you're going to do triangle, because triangle in the Rabbanut is something that it's dairy.
Like the berekas.
Exactly. And I told him, listen, it's not going to happen. And he said, it's not only that, you're going to put stamp on all of your pastries that it says it's halavim.
But I told him, says that it's dairy.
Yeah. And I told him, listen, my teuda is dairy, and it's written only dairy. I don't have even parvir. And he said, I don't care. This is what's going to happen. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So he took the teuda without making me a hearing, and he took the teuda, and I told him, listen, tomorrow I'm going to bring a tzohar here. It's something that I want to do long time ago, and this is something that, you know, like push me to do it very quick. Mm-hmm. So now I never been so kosher ever in my 56 year here in Kadosh.
Now we're at Taco Louie.
We wanted to start with Tzohar when we opened and were scared, honestly, that it would deter people from coming in and that they would think we're less kosher because of that. Number-wise, nothing has changed. As far as our suppliers, what we use in the kitchen, nothing has changed. So just the paper on the wall and the guy that comes every morning is the only difference, really.
I'm here with Dan Malé to talk about the kosher certification here at Angelica.
We're going to stay with the Hashgacha of Rabbanut, first of all, for our customers. They want Hashgacha of Rabbanut, nothing else. I think it's who the customers are. And also, I think itraglu.
They got used to.
Yeah, all the customers got used to the Rabbanut. I know customers, they have our personal number of the Mashgiach in our restaurants. Yeah, they call him.
What does that mean?
They call him directly to ask him what's the Hashgacha of the vegetable, of the fruit, of all the green. The meat, the fish.
I'm speaking to Leon Avigad, the founder and co-owner of Leopard Hospitality and the Brown Hotels, a very stylish set of vintage boutique hotels throughout Israel, as well as in Croatia and Greece, where Leon is temporarily living with his family in Athens. Hotels and kosher certification are an entire subset of this conversation and present their own host of complications. How many Brown hotels are kosher?
We don't think of it as such. So we currently have both ones in Eilat that are kosher. One will not be. We can talk about it later. So currently we have two in Eilat, one in Jerusalem, so three, and about two or three in Tel Aviv. We took a decision very early on that all our big hotels, 100 rooms plus, will be 100% kosher with the Jerusalem Rabbinate or Jerusalem or Tel Aviv Rabbinate certificate. When it comes to larger hotels, most of our guests will ask for a certificate, an actual Rabbinate certificate, and we don't want to fail them. We understand what is the notion of failing our clientele. Lechshil, a guest that wants to have certainty that it is 100% kosher. Not that Tzohar is not 100% kosher, by the way. It is, but they feel more comfortable and we'd like to work with them. In Jerusalem and in Tel Aviv, we work very well with a Jerusalem rabbinate. There are cities that is more challenging, I gotta admit.
Yeah, like where? Like, can you tell us a little bit about that? You're not gonna delve into that. Okay.
Exactly. Religion is religion, and a rule is a rule, and a restriction is a restriction. You know, there's no place for parshanut,
commentary.
Yeah. So I'm saying it doesn't really matter for us who's giving us the order or the request. It can be Tzohar. It can be. I'm not coming from an Orthodox family, but my father did follow the Orthodox stream and not the Reform or conservative. Mm-hmm. So I have a certain, not Yiddishkeit, but a certain affection to I understand that, you know, I understand the requirement or the request. So I just love the fact that someone is coming clean headed and tell me what to do exactly without telling me if it is Reform or conservative or Orthodox. Just tell me what is the requirement and we'll follow. But I think that trying to revolutionize this ancient institution of kashrut is good. You know, it's good. Any kind of organization that hasn't been changed and hasn't been exposed to the daylight is something that maybe needs some look at in order to rethink.
This brings us to the end of this week's Times Will Tell. about the kosher privatization process in Israel. Take care and happy listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Times Will Tell from the Times of Israel, and thanks to our producer, Gilad Brownstein.
Please subscribe wherever you find your podcast and check out our daily briefing news show every Sunday through Thursday.
Like what you hear? Consider rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to spread the word.
Until next week.
Shalom.
Hi, it's Sarah Tuttle Singer from the Times of Israel. Come join our community and support fast and fair independent journalism. You can sign up with the link at the bottom of every single article on the site.